Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose built to create rich, beautiful vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ebelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Pars Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Singular Sound, the music gear company from Miami, Florida, known for the Beat Buddy, the only drum machine that sounds human and is easy to use. It's the first drum machine in the form of a guitar pedal, so you can control the beat with your foot whilst you play. This year, they came out with a new 6-track stereo looper pedal with touch-enabled screen, hands-free mixing, and simultaneous parallel and sequential looping called the Eros Loop Studio. They also came out with a Cably, a portable cable management system that organizes your cables so they'll never get tangled again. This Black Friday, visit SingularSound.com to order new gear. Almost all products will be 10% off, and any order automatically enters you into a chance to win a $200 Singular Sound gift card. On top of that, Guitar Nerds listeners get a $10 discount on everything on the Singular Sound website by using discount code GUITARNERD, or follow links in the description of this podcast.
Hello and welcome to Guitar Nerds, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your special guest host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Pogs or Tazos?
And Jay Cross.
Pepsi or Coke?
No, his was way better.
Yeah, I mean, I got put on the spot.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, Joe's out this week, so I'm stepped in. But we are graced by the actual physical, real-life presence of Matt Knight.
I'm here.
We just all had dinner together. It was
unbelievable.
Really nice.
I can see why now that sometimes it takes a while for you to answer because there's a TV on in the background with football and I keep getting distracted. I don't even like football.
Yeah, no.
That's why I tend to sit like facing away from the telly,
yeah,
so that I don't
just keep looking at it.
Yeah.
That's why
I mean, football is the absolute best.
That's why sometimes, I mean, football's all right, whatever. But like, it's why sometimes I just don't talk on the podcast for half an hour. It's just like, oh, it's like an actual. I mean, at the moment we're watching Preston North End versus West Bromwich Albion.
Yeah,
what do you describe these as from their names? Pine versus Wubber.
Pine versus Weber.
Weber, that was it. Okay, fine.
Steve Weber.
And when there's an actual good game on, you know, that's sometimes why I don't talk. But a bit of a weird podcast this week because basically firstly, we've got Matt here, which is amazing.
Always.
Nice to have you back.
Joe was going to be here. Now he's not, so now I don't care about Joe anymore.
Right, good. I think it's literally going to be the only time that all four of us get together for a year, like each year for the podcasters gear of the year.
Yeah.
No, aren't we all in the same room next week? Aren't you coming down again?
I'm coming down
on Saturday.
Yeah, but that's the gear of the year.
No, next that's the week after gear of the year.
No, we're recording
14th. We're recording.
Yeah, but this Saturday we're doing the last podcast of the year, but that's Skype.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not here?
No.
Oh, I thought you were coming down.
No. There we go.
Well, thanks for bearing with us while we just...
We just arranged a calendar.
I mean,
you know,
that's actually just what a podcast
is. We did actually all get together a couple of months ago, didn't we?
Did we?
Around Joe's house.
Did we do a podcast?
No.
We just hung out.
Yeah. We went to Joe's and ate pizza.
Yeah, that was nice. But yeah, it's good to have you here, Matty. It's nice to talk to you about latency.
It's a good job that we've got loads of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the other thing, is that without Joe being here to sort of come up with
the podcast,
a bunch of guitars that only exist in too many topics.
Right?
Two counties in Romania or something.
Yeah, it's like... You look at the thing and it's like, yeah, okay, here's the topics, you know, the bit that we talk about before we get to the news. And it's like, Jay's done a gig, obviously relevant. Mark's bought a new SG or whatever, relevant. Matt's got a new pedal to talk about, fantastic. And then just floating underneath someone would be like, Van Doren saxophone reeds, let's talk about them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's...
Joe played a gig, no one cares. I actually care. I like Joe's band.
Yes.
I listen to... Polymath on Spotify when that new record came out.
Did you listen to Polymath or Poly-Math?
Poly-Math.
Two very different things that I discovered once.
After listening to Poly-Math, I wish that I had accidentally listened to Polymath. No. The record's good. It's just not for me, you know. But like, he's out there, he's doing his thing, and eventually he'll grow up and start playing in a punk band.
Yeah. He'll learn that 14
minutes.
He's
sort of like
songs.
Benjamin Button. He sort of he played in punk bands. Now he plays in a proper band.
It's gone backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing about this week is there is literally no news. I've had a look on.
I know we say it quite often when there's no news. This is the worst time of year.
Well, I mean, I guess for like.
We are 3 weeks away from
it. You know, Black Friday as well, and who's going to do, like, news? Obviously, there's been, like, limited editions, you know, across various websites and stuff, and, like, you know, crazy deals on limited editions on Black Friday, but who's going to launch, like, a new pedal while every shop is shouting about, like, Black Friday?
I assume that Electroharmonics have released a new compressor or something.
Yeah, there's been eight new pedals this week.
But I've
just filtered that out of the internet now because I can't, there's too much to think about. But so what we thought we'd do, because there was literally no news, is just take questions. We did a one-off episode of The Question Hole for Patreon. We're kind of doing a free version of that, just taking some questions from
Facebook.
Have
you only done one episode of that?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a weekly
thing.
Yeah,
I did as well, but it turns out Joe's just away forever, so it's like quite difficult to arrange. But I think next year Joe's not doing so many gigs, so we'll be doing like a live episode and then a question hole on a rotating basis.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, so what we thought we'd do, we take some questions.
It sounds like too much content.
It's a lot of content. Oh, he's got some great ideas. I mean, mainly the ones that I've given to him, but he's got some great ideas on a bit of paper that I've given to him that he can then use. So what I thought we'd do is, yeah, take some questions from Facebook, and we're just doing all questions episode, old school, like we used to do.
Do you know what I was thinking the other day?
7 years, is it, that we've been doing this? No.
2013.
We're not that far off 7 years of doing this podcast. Well, not this podcast, but a podcast these members.
I mean, between the three of us, we must still have, like, keys to get into GAC. Maybe we should just, like, break in one night.
And
I mean, I still know the alarm code, obviously.
I'm pretty sure I still know the code to the safe.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure that hasn't been changed.
Let's just go. Well, I mean, who knows how to change the code on a safe? But
why would you say this? Because when it eventually gets burgled, then there's recorded evidence that you've got the keys.
Yeah,
so,
But yeah, maybe we should just break in and just do an episode there. Like, just for old time's sake, we'll go down the shop, buy a load of gin and tonics, and eat some crisps rustled really close up.
There's
to the
a lot of drinking and eating on those podcasts. Thinking about it.
It was basically conversations of us eating and drinking.
I mean, we never took lunch breaks. Yeah. So, we were eating lunch at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. I mean, it was mainly like, because Joe used to eat meat then as well, and you ate meat. So we'd just buy like a big pack of like Tesco sausage rolls.
And I'd just go through them. Sat there eating dry bread.
Crisps. Yeah, just like a French stick, just dry.
Yeah.
A bit of hummus.
Sometimes a bit of hummus. Yeah.
Good times. We've done a lot of podcasts.
The only thing was we never really had a proper table to sit round.
We had a table, but you couldn't put your legs underneath.
Yeah, so it's sort of really uncomfortable most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Now we've got upgraded. Now we've got that Patreon money. We've got an actual table.
I mean, I bought this table.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe I haven't worked for GAC for 5 years.
Yeah. Long time. It's gone real quick.
That yeah. is crazy.
Real quick.
Yeah, 4 years for me.
And yeah, you know, if you've been listening all that time, what are you doing with your lives,
well,
basically?
Yeah, completely.
So, growing up with us.
You literally have us. Grown up with us. Yeah. I mean, I haven't grown at all. I'm shorter been. Than anything, if anything, yeah. you know. So anyway, questions this week. I thought we'd dive straight in. Will there be a jingle? Who knows? If there is, Joe, put it in here.
Make one up.
Jingle, 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 jingle.
Yeah.
It is question time.
Okay, that is it. There's a really good fella on YouTube, and I can't remember his
jingle
name. He goes through British TV themes and puts in like the lyrics. So for like question time is like, I can't remember how the question time theme goes, but it's like, da, 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 and it is question time, and the guy like sings over them. The one
he
does for Loose Women is very good. It's very funny. It's,
I don't know anything about that, but okay.
It's okay, it's a good show. It's a good show. It's like The View for our American listeners.
Okay, don't know what that is either.
It's just a show where people talk about stuff.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, women talk about stuff, hence Loose
stuff
Women.
Stuff that, presumably with it being a daytime TV show, it's stuff that makes them and a lot of other people very angry.
No,
in society.
I think it's more about they just like talk about like current affairs and that.
Oh, okay. Kind of like this.
And telly and that. Yeah, I mean,
why aren't
this
we
is,
on the telly?
This is, why is Guitar Nerds not on the telly?
That would be tragic.
I can imagine.
I mean, I certainly don't have a voice for radio, let alone a, you know.
Yeah, haircut for telly at the moment. Yeah. It's pretty out there. Anyway, so first question. Stuart Tate says, Christmas trees, real or fake? Discuss.
We had this conversation when I arrived at Jay's house earlier, didn't we?
Well, that's why. It's because I was looking at the questions.
I'm about the environment, but I also hate real trees. So I'd sort of have to go with fake tree.
Oh, unbelievable. Jay Cross,
I don't like the
fake tree. I've got it in... and actually, you talk about the environment. I've had my tree now for 5 years, maybe longer.
Well, yeah, as long as you keep it. But
yeah, I keep it. It's up there in the loft.
No, never take it down.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
Christmas.
Well, actually, in fairness, the Christmas light, someone pointed it out when we were doing the live podcast on Discord the other day, because I took a photo of my telly and behind the television you can see the Christmas lights that I've left up since last Christmas. Yeah. I just haven't turned them on. That's fine, isn't
it? As long as you don't throw away. The one thing that annoys me about real trees, and it always annoyed me more when I lived in Brighton, was how many were dumped on the at the level of every Christmas.
They get recycled though, don't they? They go into like the shredder and then surely that wood's used for something.
Okay.
Wood chips or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't
someone's
know.
Fire. Yeah, burn
get
into the atmosphere.
Get a nice fire.
Also, both of you have got cats, and having a real tree when you've got a cat is an absolute nightmare.
No, it's fine. I was fine with it. Absolutely fine. I'm all 100% about the real tree. I love it. It's not
okay.
Christmas without a real tree. It
all
doesn't
right,
smell
money bags.
The same.
All right, money bags.
They're not expensive.
No, I tell you what also isn't expensive. A tree that you get and keep for 5 years.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Like 40 quid a year. You know, there's you can't 40, put...
You spend 40 quid on a Christmas tree.
You can't put a price on Christmas. That's what I'm saying.
Well, apparently you have 40 quid.
Yeah.
40
I can.
Quid?
£50 a head.
Yeah, okay. Good to know. What, if we're coming around to yours?
Yeah.
That's the door charge. Yeah. It's the cover charge that's to it. Get in. Yeah, I'm saying real tree. Fake. But, I mean, you basically do no tree, which is... Just... All right, Scrooge.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird.
You've got to...
So, wait, hang on.
But actually,
you get
to
a
be
small
fair,
fake tree.
No, actually, we have got a small fake tree. But Amy's been asking me for 2 weeks to get the Christmas decorations out of the loft. Oh,
not until
really,
December.
Really busy.
Yeah, you can't do it. I mean, December, the 1st of December is absolute earliest
yeah,
you could do
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll do it this weekend. I don't know.
I'm going... Well, I'm not here for a fair chunk of the end of December. So, I mean, I've no idea when we're going to do
it. I'm sure that was the thing with me... Last year as well, I was like, I'm never in the house. I think I was in the house every day in December. But I'm like, just look at this. Who are we doing it for? Us. And then what really... like
the world's least selfish man.
Yeah.
Who am I doing this for? Me?
Well, I did feel bad because Amy actually made my advent calendar this year.
Okay.
And I'm
what
like,
have you done for her?
I bought one. Last minute.
Just from the pound shop.
No, it was more than a pound. Unbelievable. It's probably going to be about 20p in about a week's time.
Yeah,
I got one for Maddie at the weekend, and she didn't get me one. She was like, Americans don't do this, so you know,
I'm
a great
like, you've lived it for 4 years, like come on,
you know. I
how,
saw
how come there is no guitar advent calendar. I've never seen a guitar advent calendar.
What do you want, like Gibson to give away a different guitar every day?
A Boss Pedal advent calendar, imagine that.
I mean, that's on you. Isn't that literally your job?
That is my job. Wait a second.
That would be absolutely amazing. Just
how
a little
much would it, how much
chocolate,
would it have to be
little chocolate
know.
Boss Pedal.
No.
Real Boss Pedal.
Yeah.
But also, the people that would...
And they're connected. Like, there's an in and an output, and it's not until you've unveiled every single one. And then the little one's a little amp, and then you plug it
in. Take them out.
I'm not into that, because if you do that, like, there's no surprise as to what pedals behind what door. Because, you know, clearly, when you get to, you know, the bottom right door, that's going to be the reverb.
Yeah, delays and reverb, bottom row.
Yeah,
right.
That's
where we throw in a curveball, DS1.
It lasts.
Last.
Just a classic.
Well, that's the thing. There are no surprises in advent calendars anymore. It's pretty much a giveaway. It tells you on the back what's in the advent calendar.
Well, so, you know, bloody all these people with allergies and, you know, vegans and gluten-free and stuff. It's still got to be there, isn't it?
Advent calendar's gone mad.
Absolutely ridiculous. Not like back in the day.
I would actually like a guitar advent calendar, though.
That would be great.
Guitar-themed.
How much do you reckon it would have to be if it was, whatever it is, 24
boss pedals?
I don't know. It's working out.
How much is a boss pedal? How much is a boss pedal? 100 quid? Like, average.
I don't know what the average price is. Probably like 75 quid, probably.
No, not when you include, because
DS1's are what, like 39? 50,
yeah, but 49 quid. How many 39 quid pedals are there? I bet the average is 100 quid. Well, there you go then. I bet the average is 100 quid, so that makes it 2.5 grand.
Nice little Christmas present.
Maybe you do. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's 2 grand, isn't it, at that point?
Maybe that's what the podcast should be. Maybe that's what the Patreon will be. What would be on our 24 days of Advent calendar? Just 24 boss pedals. And then the last one is another DS1.
Yeah, what would be on Christmas Day? That's the... That should have been a question that someone asked. If there was a boss pedal Advent calendar, what's your pedal you'd do for Christmas Day?
Metal Stone.
I mean, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
The most Christmassy of all the pedals.
SP1, Spectrum.
Digital Metalizer.
That is a great pedal.
Just have a great time on Christmas Day, basically. So, next one. Budget Pedal Chap says, which would you rather? Only mini pedals, but a full-size guitar, or full-size pedals, but only travel guitars?
That is a fantastic question.
Matt Knight, we know how much you love mini pedals.
I hate mini pedals. My foot is still the same size.
Okay.
But only playing a travel guitar. But then you can get some good travel guitars now. Full-size pedals. Like, you probably get a lot of mini pedals.
The amount doesn't change. There's no restriction on how many pedals you can have.
I think I'd rather have the full-size pedals.
That's
than the
Matt,
travel
you're
guitar.
You're well, yeah, but for Matt, the guitar is like the least important
That's
part
true, actually.
Of the rig.
Yeah, for Matt, it should just be no guitar. You just have a random tone generator.
Yeah. I built it into my guitar and I don't even need to play it anymore. Just turn it on.
For you, you could just have like one of those toy guitars that just like plays like a drum beat or whatever when you push one of the buttons.
Casio DG10.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm trying to think of a travel guitar that I've really enjoyed playing, and I was thinking about that DV Mark one. You remember DV Mark made one?
Yeah.
But then it never really came out.
Was it like a headless? Didn't it have tuning keys at the bottom?
No, I think it still had a headstock. It's just really diddy. But they did one. I always see it shows that it was cow print.
Okay.
And they sort of never made it.
Oh, yeah. Jay is showing us a picture of it. Oh, yeah. It was like a tiny little, like, super strap body. But the bridge, it's a trim, and it's sat, like, right... It kind of hangs over the edge of the body.
But then Strandbergs count as travel guitars, because they're really diddy.
No.
It has to be, like, miniature scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd rather have the full-size pedals.
You're completely bonkers. Completely mad.
Jay, I assume you'd rather have the mini pedals than a full-size guitar.
Full-size guitar, but like short scale. One full-size pedal, but I'll just use a short scale. I'll just have a Mustang or a Geosonic or something.
No.
You can only have really big pedals.
Yeah. You can have one pedal that's huge and then really tiny made for ants pedals.
Okay. I'll just stick with a normal size guitar and a mini pedals then. I mean, the thing I love about mini pedals is your foot is smaller.
So you can step on more at once.
You can step on them all. Yeah.
Andrew says, who's worse, Green Day or Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, same. I'd agree. Foo Fighters.
Okay, that was quick. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love Green Day, but you know, I'm partial to the first two Foo Fighters albums.
No, the first two are actually pretty good.
Yeah,
after that, it got a bit samey.
Which is similar to Green Day, in fairness.
Nah, you can go anywhere up to
like 1998. When did Warning come out? Warning's great.
Warning's still all right.
No, Warning was like 2001.
I think it's 1999 for some reason. Maybe it's 2000. It's earlier than 2001. I think it's 1999. Anything up to Warning's all right.
Warning's great. Warning 2000.
I'm even partial to that third Foo Fighters record, Nothing Left to Lose.
Which Nothing is, Left to Lose has got Learn to Fly.
Yeah, that's when they start to go
I thought it was on the second one. I thought it was on Colour and Shape.
Hmm. No, that's when they start to go a bit more like radio friendly.
That's a good song. Breakout, is that on?
That is on Colour and Shape.
Okay. What else is there? What was the other like single that was... They did a video and it was a bit jokey.
Learn to Fly?
Yeah. No, as well as Learn to Fly.
Wow.
Everlong, that's on Colour and Shape.
No.
Stacked Actors is on...
never heard
tune
that.
To Drop A.
Is it?
That one.
Okay, that's really a good tune, that.
That is a good tune. And a lot of the first records all doubled up on a little Marshall MG-10,
it is.
It? Recorded into a little four-track.
Yeah, yeah.
Who recorded it? Was it Steve Albini?
I don't know, because he does that.
Not nothing. What's the album called? Nothing Left to Lose.
We're going to record
the first one.
My studio.
No, the one that we're just talking about.
Colour and the Shape.
No,
There's Nothing Left to Lose.
Oh yeah, okay. It's Nothing Left to Lose. Okay.
Do you reckon Steve Albini's only got mini amps, and every time someone's recording, he's like, "Yeah, we'll pull out the mini amp, just double track it." He's haven't even recorded the first track yet. Still.
Yeah,
he did. I've got a mini Marshall amp and a mini Fender amp.
When he recorded the Pixies, he did get them to record vocals in a cupboard. So maybe he's thinking, okay, well, I need tiny amps because I record every. I want to get to the point where I can record the entire band in a cupboard. The first Foo Fighters album, I think it's just recorded by Dave Grohl.
He just did it all, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the second record, I'm sure.
Doesn't look like Albini was involved.
It's Gil Norton, the second record.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of that. It's all like Mesa Boogie and stuff as well.
Yeah. Golden Age of Boogie.
That Golden Age of Boogie, what, the early 2000s?
Like mid to late, no, I'd say late 90s to kind of early 2000s. Yeah, the Golden Age.
You can hear, do you know what? I was listening to some records the other day and you can hear it. You can just hear that like ultimate boogie tone.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, when was the last
time? Super distinctive.
When was the last time you sold a triple wreck?
Or saw one being played. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Even live, I don't think I've seen a band use...
Paul McCartney uses a load of Mesa Boogie stuff. He's like the last person where you...
Playing his left-handed mandolin?
No, actually, just his bass stuff. He uses boogie, and I think his guitar players use boogie as well. But yeah, he's been using Mesa Boogie stuff for years and years and years. Right. And he's still the one person that I could guarantee if you saw him now, there would be some boogie on the stage.
Right. Billy Joe Armstrong's not using boogies.
No, I think he went back to Marshall,
yeah,
didn't
I think
he?
He's
but
using
then
Marshall
actually,
stuff.
I think now he's using like Axe FX.
Really?
I'm sure I saw something with him using Axe FX or Kemper or...
He's just got his presets loaded in. He's got the Green Day preset.
If you're a tech now for a major stadium band, wouldn't you just be like, just please switch to Axe FX? And then I can have three of them in a rack, and if one breaks, I'll just put another one in.
Does Billy Joe Armstrong care anymore?
They still put on a good show.
They put on a good show, but like, what's he hearing? He's not hearing his guitar, is he? Not really.
I don't know about that. I think they're still pretty like down to earth, and they still care about gear. Clearly,
when you get to that point, surely the most important thing is consistency.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's my point.
I'd be really interested to find out what he's using, because I know that he did go back to Marshall. He was using boogie, and then he went back to using like 800s and stuff. So, be curious to know what he's using. Let's do another question. John Bai says, in the spirit of the Katana, favourite budget gear that can regularly be found being used by professionals? Budget gear that pros use. I mean, I'm going to say, again, boss stuff. DS1s. The amount of like pro players that have still got a DS1 on the board. Like, I always find that amazing that little pedal is used in so many different places.
It was funny because... Yoshi was at a thing, the company president of Boss was at a thing called Generation Axe, which is like Tosin, Abassi, and like Steve Vai, Yngwie Malmsteen, and Nuno Bettencourt. And he took pictures of everyone's rig, and Nuno Bettencourt still uses a GT8.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Which is funny, because I think people see like this player and go, oh, I must be using all this amazing gear. Like,
is he just using it for,
like, straight in?
Is he just using it for like modulation and stuff, though? He's not using it for the drive?
No, I think he's got like, I think he's using like the amp models and stuff.
Okay, wow.
Isn't that pre-Cosm?
No, that's the height of Cosm.
That's the height of Cosm. Yeah.
We're in the heart of Cosm at that point. Captain Cosm, I think, was the marketing tool at that point as well.
There was a Captain Cosm.
There was a Captain Cosm.
Little like superhero that had a kind of comic book.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Great
Matt,
stuff.
Matt Light came in and fired him immediately.
Right, yeah, Captain Cosm. He's just like the Duff Man when Duff Man gets fired.
He just like comes around every now and again. Yeah. Like Matt's like, no, get out, Captain.
I'm
trying to think of like, I must admit, for me, especially because I work for Boss, Katana's been a weird one because I have seen like loads of people like use them. Like when I was in Nashville, you know, loads of like the bars and stuff that like, people were using like katanas and you're just like, guys are geeking out all the time. Again, I think it's that modern gear offers consistency.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just, you know, you can turn up and it's going to work.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, Boss pedals you tend to see quite a lot.
Yeah, T3s.
But then TC stuff.
Yeah, I mean, TC electronic stuff. Yeah, again, it's, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not super mega expensive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess what we're talking about, what's budget here? You know, is it a pedal for less than 100 quid? You know,
I mean, flashbacks and stuff, I Hall guess, of Fames floating and stuff. Around that kind
yeah.
of money.
Yeah, yeah, totally. No, no.
Definitely see those on people's boards.
Big Muff.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
still 50 quid or whatever it is. Crybaby, never really gone up in price.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Like, yeah, just I would say most people are using just a standard Crybaby.
Yeah, which
if they
is what, 60 quid or whatever.
And yeah, I think they're even cheaper than that.
How about this? Absolute classic SM58.
Yeah.
How much is an SM58? Probably the same price as they've been for 20 years. Like, and they're just everywhere.
They're floating around 75 quid, something like that.
And they're just, like, how are Shaw still selling them? Like, where do they all go?
Where do they all go?
They haven't changed. When was, like, have they ever changed?
I couldn't tell you if the capsule or anything's changed, but they've always looked the same. But
the SM58 has been in production since 1966.
There we go. Oh, they probably have looked slightly different then, I'd imagine. Can't imagine they've always used exactly the same housing. But I mean, it's like the same thing with Boss pedals. You know, where do they all go? That's the thing. It's like they don't...
17 million.
They don't break.
17 million.
This year?
This year.
Yeah, yeah. So 17 million this year.
So that's the, 17 million, I think, since 1977.
It's crazy, isn't it? Where are they all?
I don't know. So I've got this rare Boss pedal. Do you? Are you sure? You sure about that?
Yes, it's the Zakk Wylde edition SD1.
I mean, that's the one. That is the holy grail.
That is the rare one.
That is the rare one.
Do you know what the story is behind that?
Yeah, do you know what? I tried to do some research into it. So for people who don't know, there's a book called The Boss Book, which was written by a Japanese Boss collector and Boss in the early 2000s. And there was this whole bit about this mystery guitar player from Japan had this massive collection. He had this Bullseye SD1. And I always remember reading that book being like, oh, where you ever find one? And then when I went to live in Japan, I asked about it. And they were like, oh, I think it was like Ishibashi or one of those big chain stores. When Zakk Wylde did his first solo record, he did an in-store signing at Ishibashi and they made 5 SD1s and 5 CH1s because that was his pedal board at the time with the font, and they were specifically made by that store for sale at that store. And that's it. They've never been seen since.
Yeah, except for this pedal collector.
Except for this one thing in a book.
Yeah, so as far as I understand it, there's a DS1 and a C...
It's this SD1 and a CH1.
Right, but no one knows where the CH1 is.
No. That's amazing. They did 5 of each and then that
was
it.
Oh, man.
I mean, if I ever saw one, it's that crazy thing. You always wish you go to like a car boot sale or like something and you just see something like that.
I think it's unlikely if you're going to Burgess Hill car boot sale that you're going to find.
Although, did you see that thing... there was a just as a quick one like that, there was Chris Buck found a 62 Strat in an auction in Wales.
What?
Yeah.
What, like cheap?
Yeah. I think he said he didn't want to give away the actual figure, but he paid under $2,000 for it.
Wow.
Refinned, so it was like a bad Fiesta Red, which obviously most people were doing at that point. Different saddles, neck pickup had been changed, and someone had tried to wire Jaguar controls into it. Into the scratch plate.
Fantastic.
So it's got three like dip switches. I think it was half Jaguar, half kind of Brian May wiring. But yeah, that again, you know, those things are out there. I guess people who could afford them bought them back then forgot. I mean, you know, if we think about how many Boss pedals there are, or you know, all of this kind of like mass produced gear, where does it all go? Half of it's probably under people's beds.
Yeah.
And in 50 years' time, you'd be like, oh, I've got this great, like, 2001 American Highway 1 Strat.
Yeah. And some of those will gain, like, all it takes is for one player to pick those up and be like, this is the best guitar. And something like, yeah, Highway 1 maybe. You know, yeah. Someone will pick those up and go, do you know what? These are so good. And then they'll become a leading voice. And suddenly your Highway 1 Strat that's worth, I don't know, 500 quid or something.
Yeah.
Is suddenly worth, you know,
two grand.
It doesn't take much. And yeah, like you said, a lot of that stuff is just under people's beds.
It's weird. I don't know how much of that, in terms of like budget gear, new budget gear now, how much of that will become, again, it's just, you just don't know, I guess.
Yeah.
There could be something, some sort of pedal somewhere that suddenly takes off.
Discover a new way to record with iZotope Spire Studio. With this portable multi-track recorder, you can quickly and easily capture your songs at the highest quality via the built-in mic and dual inputs. Spire Studio automatically detects your instruments to sculpt the tone and set input levels. Wirelessly pair it with your iOS or Android device to add creative amps and effects, edit, mix, collaborate with bandmates, and export your songs. Now available at retailers like Sweetwater, Auto Music, Amazon, as well as Thomann and Anderson's in Europe, Spire Studio is now on sale at 20% off for Black Friday. Learn more at iZotope.com/Spire/nerds or follow links in the description of this podcast. Strings Direct are one of the most comprehensive guitar string retailers worldwide, so they definitely know a thing or two about guitar and bass strings. And with that comes the complete understanding of the frustration you get when trying to find a set of strings with the exact gauges you want. Maybe you're looking to tune in Robert Fripp's famous new standard all-fifths tuning, or perhaps you've got a Yamaha G10 synth guitar, which requires 6 16-gauge strings. Who knows? Whatever your tuning, whatever your gauge, whatever your preferred brand, Strings Direct have you covered with their Strings Direct Custom Gauge Builder. Build your own set of signature strings from scratch with options for electric, bass and acoustic, and with banjo and classical guitars coming soon. And choose from a huge range of the world's most popular string manufacturers. Strings Direct have got us guitar nerds covered. Check them out and build your own set at stringsdirect.co.uk. And on top of that, all Guitar Nerds listeners can take advantage of a 10% discount off of anything on the Strings Direct website throughout November and December. Just use the code NERDS10 at the checkout. And for more info, follow the link in the description of this podcast.
It's like these, you know, limited editions and custom finishes and stuff like that. That's where the collectability is now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw a Zvex pedal on eBay that I'd never seen before.
Right.
I'm like, you know, these things do still pop up every now and then.
Definitely. The other thing is, I guess, like small builders that go on to then be big builders. Like if you buy something like their first run of whatever, and then suddenly they become like a Zvex or a Earthquaker or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And when me and Joe were talking to Thorpey, having some of like the really early ones. But then I guess parts are more consistent now. It's like it'd be different than having a first run Fuzz Face from 1966.
Because
it varies so much to, you know, components are so much more controlled now, aren't they?
I'm talking about more like if you buy something when, you know, someone's still making it in their bedroom and then 5 years later they've got pedals in all the shops and things like that. You know, that might be a cool thing to have. Whether it'd be worth that much money, I don't know. But that's what I would collect. Let's do a joint question. Matt says, what does Joe smell like? And Blake says, which host smells the best? I'm going to say Jay smells the best.
I was going to say Jay probably smells the best.
I definitely smell the best.
You spend a lot of money on smelling good, though.
I don't spend a lot.
How much is Lynx Africa? That's what I...
Voodoo.
Yeah. Okay.
Java.
I'm more of a Java man.
I think I was more of a voodoo than I was a...
For years, I was an Africa man.
I was
absolutely.
I was Africa as well. I tried the others. I remember buying Inca once, being like, I'm going to give it a go. And it didn't smell bad, but it just wasn't the old familiar.
Last Christmas, I actually, like, my parents bought me and Amy, like, a gift card, you know, of, like, an average value to go and spend on something nice, and then bought a load of little presents. I opened one, and it was like one of those super drug like box sets of like a shower gel and a deodorant. It was Africa.
Yes.
It was fantastic. Like, at first I was horrified, and I was like, actually, I'm into this. I mean, I got around smelling.
Did you use
my 15-year-old self for about 2 weeks?
If you want, it's so weird the effect of that. It is like an instant flashback. It's like a time
to being
machine.
In the changing rooms.
So we're just like just being around, you know, yourself and like 15-year-olds, like when you were 15. Everyone just used Lynx Africa. And then
it's a big step in your life when you move. You buy the first non Lynx.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, I try something different, and that's it. You never look back.
Yeah, I might just go home now, just buy a can of Africans, just relive the past.
I guess for our is it called
Axe?
It's called Axe in America.
Yeah, yeah, Axe body spray is what we're talking about. So on to the second part of that question: what does Joe smell like? I'm going to say Lynx Africa.
He doesn't smell bad. He likes showers and stuff. He just about keeps his head above water when it comes to personal hygiene.
I've definitely smelled Joe after a night out, and it is a pretty bad smell.
Yeah, it's not a...
But on average, it smells all right.
He just, the thing is,
sort
he
of
doesn't...
musty hay.
Well, he doesn't smell bad. What happens is he just, like, his body gets filled up with booze, and the only way out is through the pores.
Yeah.
Although he does like burning incense, which also reminds me of my 15-year-old self.
Yeah, he does. Really? He does. Were you into incense when you were 15? I was. I never really, like, it's the sort of thing now where I'm like, I could probably do a bit of that.
It's cool. It's like smoking drugs, yeah? It's like, it's just incense.
It's just smelling it.
Just
yeah.
smell.
Yeah, you're really into making the house smell nice.
I really like candles. I'm really into, like, woodwick candles. They're so good. Excuse me. They're so good. Woodwick candles, they crackle. The wick is wood.
Yeah, that's Woodwick. Hence the name. Woodwick.
Hence the name. They're amazing. Yeah, really into
Yankee
really
candles,
into candles,
mate. You can get jelly beans.
Yankee
butter.
Own Woodwick. And so now if you go into it, like, I love going into the Yankee Candle store. It's so bloody good.
DS1
I've got
one candle.
DS1 candle.
I'm telling you, Boss Candles would do numbers.
I've talked about this. New guitar smell.
Yeah.
Like new guitar smell air fresheners or something. Fantastic.
My favourite new guitar smell was when we had the... Who's the geezer from...
Buckethead.
No.
Is that the one you're going to...
From Sex Pistols. What's his name?
Oh, Steve Jones.
When we had his and it actually smelled like Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
I opened the case and I was like...
I don't remember.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
That? Yeah, you know? The case yeah. smell absolutely amazing.
What was it? A Les Paul?
Les Paul Custom. It's like a 70s Les Paul Custom.
I don't remember them doing that.
Yeah, they did. It was like relict and it had like a kind of like pin-up transfer on the body.
Okay.
It was like good relic and stuff. But yeah, the main thing was the case smelled absolutely amazing.
Right, okay.
It smelled of pure booze and it was wicked. So what does Joe smell like? Lynx Africa. Someone suggested a pub carpet, which I think is probably
That's actually a bit harsh, I would say. Like... pub carpets don't smell that bad nowadays.
Most pubs don't have carpets either.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just a wooden, sticky wooden
floor. They've
got
rid of them. Maybe we can get rid of Joe. okay, so Matthew says, what are examples of pedals that are associate strongly with one type of music, but actually work surprisingly well for other genres? For example, the Rat is thought of as an 80s metal pedal, but lower gain settings, it can be great for lots of other genres. Can you think of anything?
It's associated with one genre.
Or one, like, generally known for kind of one type of genre?
It's difficult because, I mean, really, where are you looking except for drive pedals at that point? You know, like, people talk about how the Metal Zone is, you know, you can sort of wind back the gain and it's a nice bluesy. It's like, well, I mean, is it?
I've got one. Chorus pedals associated with crap 80s music, but apparently everyone uses them on everything now. And
Chorus is great.
I'm the one that's in the wrong.
I love Chorus.
Chorus is great. You're an idiot.
No. It just sounds like 80s music.
80s music was good.
No, it wasn't.
80s music was good.
There's no, apart from Paul McCartney solo albums, there's no good music made in the 80s.
Everything that Minor Threat did? Everything Black Flag did in the 80s?
I don't like Black Flag that much.
NOFX?
Yeah, their 80s stuff's terrible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. What's a good 80s NOFX album?
NOFX were going in the 80s.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
None of them. Drublick. That was not in the 80s. Absolutely not in the 80s.
But Joe's right. I think once you move away from drive pedals, it's quite difficult, really.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to think of a particular pedal that you always see that you go, if you saw a pedal, you go, oh yeah, that's...
Oh, what about the Big Muff again?
Well,
Big Muff is a fuzz pedal, and I think you would think of it as kind of big, you know, sort of really pushed distortion sound, but you can like wind that back.
Well, the thing is, I think if you said to most people Big Muff, most people would think Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's one particular type of Big Muff. And I guess rather than like it being associated with style of music, I think it's one pedal that's had many forms, but it's only ever associated with the one type, the classic font one, rather than like,
yeah,
the,
I mean,
other ones.
Big Muff's kind of become its like own genre of pedals now anyway.
Yeah, because
there's so many, and particularly now they've reissued everything, there's so many Big Muffs and they all sound completely different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's difficult. I would say one actually, TS9. Most people think blues, rock, you know, that kind of thing. But actually, you know, a lot of metal players use them because they'll use them to just like push an already driven channel. Yeah.
Actually, I guess in a way, like, one thing, you know, I've started to see more, like compression pedals not being used as like the super plinky funk pedal.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can really, you know, as a make gooder, as something that can be formed part of your overall sound. You only have to look at like Origin Effects to actually, or you almost use it as like a studio tool, something that's like, you know, helping create your initial sound rather than like, oh, I'm just going to turn the attack all the way up and... I mean, that's what I did on my first compressor pedal. Why does everything sound so squished?
Well, yeah, totally. But all the
notes last for ages.
let's do... Kevin says, you can only pick one pedal for a gig. What'd you pick?
TE3.
Yep, I mean, I'm there. Matt would absolutely forego the tuner.
Slicer.
So, yeah.
One pedal.
It can't be like a multi effects. It can't be like H9 or whatever.
Oh,
Kemper floor.
Yeah,
probably like a delay pedal of some sort.
I mean, that's for me. Delay or reverb are the next obvious ones. If you can only have one effect,
Strymon Flint.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, that is two effects technically, but it is in one.
That's one
pedal.
So wasn't the question one pedal?
RE20.
RE20, great pedal all time. Because you do get a bit of drive out of that
and
as well.
You do get a bit of drive out of it, and it can oscillate, so you don't even have to play guitar all the time. You just hold the
button
down.
Which is the dream. Which is the dream, not playing guitar.
And it's got some reverb in it and some delay, so that'd be a good one. Strymon Flint.
What about a Digitech Space Station?
Just aliens. Yamaha Magic Stomp.
Okay,
it's
of course.
Got Tractor on it.
Tractor. It literally did sound like that. We should buy one.
I've been trying to buy one for ages. They go for so much money now.
Didn't they have...
There's
one called Ambulance as well?
There's bats.
Bats.
Cats. Tractor. But it was... What, do you know what?
Tractor is so good.
I think Tractor was like six octaves down.
So
I think
you
that's
just hit
what
a string
was.
And it just like farts out basically.
But the weird thing was, I remember at the time, you know, they had John 5 as like a signature. They had loads of signature artists. You could download them. Like,
yeah,
back in the early days of the internet.
I don't think it was the early days of the internet.
That was like 1990. That was like the mid-90s, isn't it?
The Magic Stomp, nah, was like 2000. It came out when I was working at GAC, so I would say it's probably 2001.
Okay, maybe not the early, just the terrible days of the
internet. Yeah, yeah, the good old
Space
days.
SpaceJam.com. No,
the best days of the internet.
We should buy Magic Stomp, though.
I'm up for it. I don't know what we'd use it for. That could be a Patreon where we just go through each week. You get one preset from the Magic Stomp.
Tractor.
That's in the episode. We just play a bit of guitar. That's an episode on each preset of the Magic Stomp. I'm saying that's the new Patreon series. And you've got to wait like 300 weeks until you get to Tractor, which is what everyone's waiting for.
I kind of want to find the preset list for... here we go. Preset patch list.
Let's do it.
For Magic Stomp. Let's just...
How many are there?
He just pulled it up in his bookmarks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just rolled up his sleeve.
He's got a tattoo.
You need to go to the second page to get some of the good ones.
Good.
Oh, no. Actually, straight out of the box, this one got some terrible ones. Oh, I think someone's made their own and they've called like Blues Rock. That's boring.
Tractor is what we need.
Tractor. There is a Bossa Nova preset, though.
Okay. I don't know how that would work.
None of the good ones seem to be on here, but there is one called Liverpool.
Okay, I guess that's like Beatles-y.
Yeah,
probably.
I probably need to find... This one is not a good preset list. Someone's made their own presets. This is not the official one. There's no Tractor. I can't find Tractor on here.
Tractor?
I only want to buy it for Tractor.
That's all you need. That's all you need it for.
That's all I want.
Let's take a... okay, Joe says, I need a weird pedal and I don't want to spend much on it. What do I buy?
Yamaha Magic Stomp. So I found the other one here. I found the other preset list. These are your effects. Talking Phase, Ring Modulator, Pitch Shift, Cat Shelter.
That's not one.
Cat Shelter,
Bats, Machine Gun,
yes.
Tractor, Glam Riff.
Okay, nice. How much does a Magic Stomp go for?
Sweet Face, Saucy Rock, AG Stroke.
Okay, interesting.
I just want to know what Cat Shelter is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was like, meow. That was it.
Got him in.
It was some sort of like auto filter. Don't worry, but it also covers your Hank Marvin Shadow Delay.
Nice. Right,
that's a good one.
Nice. Do you know what? This is going to, talking about Hank Marvin, I listen to, and I think it might be a sign that I'm getting
summer
old.
Summer Holiday.
I listened to the Summer Holiday soundtrack this week. Summer
Wait,
Holiday.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Oh, man.
Firstly, Summer Holiday, great movie. Secondly, The Shadows, the songs that are on the Summer Holiday soundtrack that The Shadows, the instrumentals that are like the incidental music from the film that The Shadows do, really good. And weirdly, the remaster that they've done on Spotify, the guitars sound absolutely amazing. And I'm normally someone who's like, oh yeah, Hank Marvin, whatever. You know, it's like classic kind of guitar shop person. Like, I want to sound like Hank Marvin, you know. But when you actually listen to it, when you take the time to listen to it and you listen to this version where it's been remastered and it sounds amazing, the guitars sound so good on it. And firstly, I'm not a Strat person, but I was like, it's so well recorded and it sounds mega.
I was watching on Friday, I think it was. I was watching a bit of
Summer Holiday.
BBC 4 or Sky Arts or whatever it is that has all the music documentaries on a Friday night. And they had kind of like a beginning of rock and roll special where they went, they were talking about like Elvis and they were talking about Johnny Cash. They were kind of like the focuses of it, but they did have a bit about like, you know, kind of the very early days of rock and roll and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, they had a bit on Hank Marvin and, you know, and The Shadows and stuff like that. And it was like... them performing was really like watching it was really weird because obviously it's all instrumental,
yeah.
And but they're like dancing,
they do a little dance,
they're like
doing
a little dance. But there's clearly a bit where the bass player who's in the middle completely loses where he is, and it's like just look at one of the other two fellas, but he's like facing the wrong way,
he's lost the routine.
So good.
I just again another aside, last night I watched the documentary about the Proclaimers, you know, the I Would Walk 500
yeah, yeah,
Miles,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
The document, really interesting band. Didn't know anything about them, and it's kind of inspired me to like. I didn't
They're
get a chance
Scottish.
To do it today.
Did they ever walk 500 miles?
Probably, you know, probably in their lives, I'd imagine they've cumulatively walked 500
miles. Get to 499, it's like, can't.
That's it, I can never walk again. The documentary is on, American listeners, this is not very relevant, but it's on the BBC iPlayer right now. It's really good, really interesting story.
There's one documentary that I've been meaning to watch, which is about all the session musicians on the West Coast in like the 60s. I can't remember what it's called.
Yes, I can't remember the name either, but I've seen
it. Is it the Sidemen?
Maybe, something like that. It's all about all the guitar players and stuff who played on a lot of the hit records in the 60s and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's called Sidemen or Sideman or something like that. Just having a
history of
Spider-Man.
The story of
Spider-Man
the
Sidemen. Spider-Man 3, the best one.
Is it the story of the Sideman? I think is maybe what it is.
That sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, it does sound like a... does sound like maybe this no this is more about like a about British people because it's got the geezer who was David Bowie's guitarist Earl Slick or Slicky as he's known in this article.
Slicky to my mates. Going back to the original question, Joe says I need to buy a weird pedal. Don't want to spend much on it. What do I buy?
Don't want to spend much. What are we putting a limit on? 100 quid.
I'm gonna say obviously Digitech bass synthwar. Because you can get them for like 30 quid and they're an awesome pedal. Get the bass version. Do not get the guitar version.
Bass one is definitely better.
Yeah. As we know, bass synth pedals sound great on guitar and guitar synth pedals usually sound bad.
I was thinking whilst you two were whittering on, the classic answer to this always used to be when we were doing GAC podcasts, MXR Blue Box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really weird. Don't see them around so much.
People just don't really use them, do they? Because they're,
was it two octaves down and one up?
It's two octaves down and a fuzz, and you blend in the two octaves, don't you?
Yeah, and it's kind of, the problem with the Blue Box is, it's like, what is it? Is it like a ring modulator? Is it an octave pedal? Is it a fuzz pedal? Yeah, it's just a weird effect.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many effects are just like a weird effect? Do you know what I mean? They're like a synth pedal or they're a fuzz pedal that's got weird filters on it. You don't just buy like, oh yeah, I bought this pedal because it does this one weird sound.
But the thing is, it's actually trying to get something like that on a budget. There's so many great pedals out there that are weird, that are expensive. And then you're like, could I really spend that sort of money?
How much is an SY-1?
199.
Right, okay. I mean, that's still, you know, it's a fairly expensive pedal, but it's not mega money.
I think that's kind of what you expect now, isn't it? It
does loads of stuff as well.
Lower territory or whatever.
I tell you who does a lot of weird pedals for not huge money. I've started talking now without really backing up. But what about the Ranger stuff? The Ranger stuff's all fairly cheap.
I remember them not being huge.
I don't know though. They're not super cheap.
Ranger, the Airspace Invader 2, £109.
Oh, there we go. That's pretty cheap.
It's used, but you know, actually, there's loads up for about 100 quid. Ranger Airspace Invader, which I remember being
actually
very
I'll tell you what, super fun pedal that popped up on my feed the other day. That one side isn't that weird, but the second side is definitely great for noises. Paul Gilbert Aeroplane Flanger.
Yeah.
That's a great pedal. I mean, you can get those up for less than 100 quid.
I mean, it does one noise. That's the noise it does.
The Ibanez AF2 Paul Gilbert Airplane Flanger. Yeah, used from 88 quid.
What about the Ibanez LF7 Lo-Fi?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't do very much, I've got to admit. Just basically
it's funny
cuts
because
all your bass off.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I worked at GAC, we first started getting the Moore pedals and we tried the Bit Crusher. And I was like, oh, great, 30 quid. Make your pedal sound well weird. It's like, no, it just makes it sound terrible.
Yeah, but
it's definitely a cut-off.
Between
weird and terrible. And it's a fine line that some of these pedals sit.
I think your definition of where that line is may be very different from other people's definition of where that line is, Matt. Let's do another question. Okay, this one, actually. I'm not sure we've ever... we haven't tackled this for a long time. Adam says, what is each of your dream guitar? Money no object, but you can only choose one.
Steven Stern, Masterbuilt, Pink Penguin Relic.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you just sell all your guitars and buy one of those?
Because I'd have to wait 5 years for it to
turn out. That's true, yeah.
And actually, our friend Nick, who works at a music store in London, recently bought a Steven Stern Masterbuilt White Penguin.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he sold his Japanese-built Penguin to get it. But I've always... I've always wanted a Stephen Stern Masterbuilt. Gretsch is one guitar I've never owned, but I always love playing them, and I'd love to own. Because a Masterbuilt Gretsch is built by one, basically one fella.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it would just be amazing. And to have a pink relict, and Penguins are dead cool.
Yeah. Thing is about that, getting something built, a Gretsch built by one fella is, firstly, it's like getting a custom-built guitar, but if you ever want to sell it, you will actually get your money back. Rather than, you know, if you get a custom-built guitar from most places by an unnamed builder, it's like you'll spend 10 grand on it and then someone will offer you a tenner to buy back.
But it's weird because I've owned custom shop Fenders and, you know, Gibson and stuff like that. I've never owned a Gretsch, but it's one guitar I'd always really love to own. So if money, no object, I just don't want to wait 5 years. 3 years. That's wait for one to come up. I've seen a couple of cool ones. Like there was a grape sparkle one came up.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I've seen a couple of gold spot. I've seen a couple turn up, but they've been in like Lake Placid blue, and I'm like, that's just the wrong side of the kind of colour.
Placid blue penguin just doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, you want the pink penguin. Yeah,
you want the pink penguin.
J Cross, money no object.
I don't know, really. I mean,
2012 Les Paul traditional.
The exact one that you used to own.
No. That was the standard. Was the one that I really.
Oh yeah,
liked.
That's true. Yeah,
and it was 2013 was the year that the traditional that I liked. Probably a 59p bass, custom shop 59p bass, which is
why not just get a real one? Money's no object.
Probably don't want a 1959
build quality is terrible, mate.
P bass. It's probably not very good. I don't know. Is it? Would they be good?
Yeah. I mean, if you get a nice one, money is no object.
If money is no object, then yeah, probably an original 1959, but it'll probably be crap. Like, it's probably been stored next to a radiator.
No, I think, but again, money, no object. You can just get one that's
thing
good.
Is, why do you keep saying that?
Because money's no object.
Right, okay, well.
If it's going to be an old guitar, it'd be a 54 Les Paul Custom.
Okay.
That'd be the one.
Single pickup.
Yeah, original. Forgot to put the other one in.
Yeah. Just, no need.
There's a load of weird ones. I mean, I wish I'd just kept a list of everything good that had ever come into the shop that I wish I bought.
If money, no object... Probably a 59 Les Paul Junior, double cut.
Okay, interesting. I was going to go 54 Les Paul Junior, single cut.
Yeah, that'd
there
be
was
good.
There was a. I played a 59 or a 60, 59, I think it was, in a Guitar Center, in on
double
cut Sunset Boulevard, yeah. Hollywood Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, and it was just amazing. It was in TV Yellow. It was just incredible. It was absolutely my dream guitar. It's so good. It's just so much money.
Yeah, I just think Sunburst 54 Junior, that is the, like, for me, that is the dream guitar.
It's funny because a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I want like a 60 Stratwave. And I'm like, I just buy a custom shop one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just think it would have to be so special to, I mean, I guess you could say the thing about the Penguin. You know.
Didn't you do that last week?
What, knock my microphone out? Yeah, I just did it again.
Yeah.
It's going to fall off again.
That's all right. I'll just...
It literally did just fall. Yeah.
So I saved it. I saved that one.
But yeah, there's something about the Penguin. And I remember one came into the shop once, but it was left-handed. It was Lee? Just Lee had a Penguin, didn't he?
My mate Lee, who I'm playing the band with. Yeah.
And
did he have a Penguin? I thought he had a Falcon.
He had a lefty Penguin. Okay. And I was like, because you don't really see him very often.
He recently bought, speaking of him, this is a conversation for you and you only.
Yeah.
He recently bought a Dan Electro baritone left-handed.
Nice.
Yeah. Apparently it's amazing.
But yeah, pink Penguin, I think, for me. Or a 54 Les Paul Custom.
Yeah.
Or a 74 Strat in brown.
I'd go 1986 Fender Strat.
What was the one called? The Strat.
Telly,
one of those.
The Strat.
Telly Elite in green.
Yeah.
Just something. Two buttons.
1986.
Yeah. Let's do maybe one or two more questions. Tom says, which is the deeper, darker hole to waste your time not actually practicing? Winding your own pickups or building your own pedals?
I would say... Wait, repeat the question?
So basically, which is a worse waste of your time rather than practicing, winding your own pickups or building your own pedals?
I would say that the easy, and I mean, I say this knowing absolutely nothing about either, but I think...
I mean, that's, we might as well just put that disclaimer on the entire podcast. Well,
that is true. I would say there's probably a lesser barrier to entry in making your own pickup, making your own pedals. I reckon winding your own pickups is really hard. Because unless you've got, even if you've got a machine, and like, I don't know how much a machine costs.
Not a lot.
They've got, is it not a lot?
They're not very much.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're surprised. When I looked at them, they were surprisingly cheap.
And it's much easier to test a pedal that you've made than test a pickup that you've wired.
Yeah, I wonder what this pickup sounds like to this other pickup in the neck position.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. Try that one. Right, hold on a sec. Just remember how that sounded.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Unsolder it. Solder something else in. Yes.
I think the thing is...
I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. It's like, how do you test whether you're doing the right thing or not?
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
I think winding pickups would be a cool journey to go on if you could do it and you had the equipment. But if at that point, you've probably got enough time to actually be into it and build a load and it'd be all right. But yeah. I think pedals, there's just so many variables. And I think you could spend like ridiculous amounts of money on... crazy parts for it, and it's definitely a bad rabbit hole to fall down. I just think
it depends on what you want to do with it. Personally, I would love to be able to say I built this guitar and I wound my own pickups for it, and this is why I like them. And I think, like, personally, like, building a pedal for yourself, I don't think I would ever do that.
Do you know what, this is maybe a weird thing, maybe it's only me, but I always think that a sandwich that someone else makes is better than a sandwich that you make for yourself.
That totally depends, I think. Depends on the sandwich
maker. I always just think, if I made my own pedals, I'd be like, it just isn't as good as one that I could buy.
That's kind of what I feel like. You know, like, the kind of pedal that I think I could potentially make, Electro-Harmonix probably make a better one version of it for like £50.
Is playing your own pedal the equivalent of wearing your own band's merch?
If you do it live, if you take it out on the road, then definitely.
So, friend of the podcast, Dan Grace, is currently going through a bit of a phase where he is like finishing his own guitars and refinishing his own guitars and stuff. Now, this started with him taking his 72 Tele, and he wanted to refinish it in shell pink and then relic it himself. And like, the amount of time it's taken him, like, he had to, like, you know, melt the finish off and then rub out all the imperfections, refill it, then color it in, whatever you do there with a spray can,
color it in,
lacquer it, and you know,
with little crack Crayolas,
and then you know, drop your keys on it to relic it and stuff. And he brought it in, he's like, this looks amazing, didn't it? I'm like, it does look amazing, but I'm like, how long did it take you? He's like, oh, it doesn't matter how long it took me, it's just, you know, it's a bit of fun. And I'm like, that's just buy one.
It is good though. That guitar.
His guitar is fantastic.
Which,
absolutely. Don't
coincidentally, you can see on the video for the new Random Heroes single, December the 13th.
That's a weird song title.
Friday the 13th.
It's coming out on Friday the 13th. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Okay, anyway,
just letting you know, just throwing that out there a couple of weeks early.
Okay, well, I'm sure both the people that like that sort of music will check it out. Me and Matt.
Yeah.
I've got other things I want to be doing in my life, like playing Red Dead Redemption and stuff. Drinking beers.
I would feel that the pedal, even if I built one, I feel like Electro-Harmonix would make a better version for no money. Whereas with the pickups, I think there'd be, for me, a greater sense of achievement in building those pickups and putting them in a guitar that I was actually going to use.
I just think that if I made my own pedals and then look back on it, it'd be like thinking when I was painting Warhammer when I was 15, they looked really good, and then 10 years later I look at them again and go, I was terrible at this.
See, I never did that either. Back then I was playing International Superstar Soccer Deluxe on the snares and like having a great time.
That's sensible, the one where you could turn the referee into a dog.
No, we've had this conversation. It's
not that.
That's
ISS Deluxe.
Did they have real real names? Were they made up names?
No, they were made up names.
Bobson, but Dugnut.
But it was like Blevin Bleegan and like,
yeah
Larry Ginnaker and stuff like that.
Larry Ginnaker. Fantastic.
Oh, God, the podcast right there.
Larry Ginnaker. Does Joe still give the podcast names?
I don't know.
I'm sure he does.
No,
I think he's like Mr. SEO now, so he just puts like Boss Katana 50 as the title, if that's what we've talked about that week. Or
this podcast will blow your mind.
Yeah.
10 tips I learned this week about weight loss.
Yeah. This podcast is giving out tips to make every doctor angry. Have you ever seen a ghost? We did actually get a question, and two questions I want to wrap up on. Firstly, Simon says, have you ever seen a Christmas ghost? Have you ever seen a Christmas ghost?
I see ghosts all the time, especially Christmas ones.
Okay, the ghost of Christmas past.
And the future. And the future says, you will watch Jingle All The Way every year.
That thing is, that is the ghost of the past, because the past knows that you have watched Jingle All The Way every
year. Best Christmas movie. Amy won't let me watch it. I still think it's the best one.
In all seriousness, the best Christmas movie is Elf.
Jingle All The Way. Put the two together.
Personally, I like Santa Claus the movie with Dudley Moore. It's a good movie. Really good movie. And it's got John Lithgow in it as well. Great cast.
Is he the one from Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah. Okay. One last question. Max says, would you like some toast? And my answer is, why toast when you can roast?
With that,
we should wrap this podcast up. We're going to go and do another half an hour over on the Patreon. Probably just more of this, I think. I mean, I've quite enjoyed this week.
Good night, isn't it?
Very different.
Maybe I should just live in Brighton. You should go and live away somewhere else.
Yeah, just send him off to Reading every day.
That's fine. Whatever.
Not to work. We just send him to Reading every day and back again for a laugh. But it's a bit more loose this week. Joe's not here. We're not, you know, shilling products and whatever he can make.
It's going to be an intense couple of weeks, I think, in the guitar nerds world.
I'm glad I actually came down for this one, because I think when we only podcast in the same room, obviously we see each other throughout the year, but when
we're talking to each other literally constantly.
Yeah.
What's happening is Joe is talking to us and we're trying to get on with our like actual jobs.
Yeah.
Except Mark, who sits in.
And I just think, you know, it can be pretty intense. We're doing over a weekend this time as well.
We're talking about Gear of the Year. I don't think we actually explained that.
Yeah, we're talking about Gear of the Year. Yeah, we're doing it over a weekend this time rather than trying to do it all in one day.
Yes, we are going to do it over a weekend.
But it's still intense.
Yeah.
No, it's in my house.
With that, we're going to wrap up. More of this over on the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Got the script.
I can do it without the script. I've not done this for nearly 2 years. I can do it without the script. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $5 a month gives you extra half an hour every week, plus access to a mini series and interviews that are on the channel. I think there's nearly 300 Patreon episodes now. There's like so much stuff on there.
And you get it all the first week you sign up. So just sign up for 1 week.
Sign up for a week and then just sack it off after that.
It's fine. Download it all.
Yep. Yeah. $1, by the way, gets you access to our fairly irregular live episodes now.
Speaking of, we should talk about that because we want to try and get more people involved with the live episodes. So we're going to say what the topic is now.
Wait, when's the next live episode?
Next Sunday.
Okay, so not the Sunday coming up, the next Sunday.
No, the 8th. So this Sunday coming up.
Okay.
I think. Is it? Or is it the one after? No, it's this one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe the 8th.
Or is it the 15th?
I think
it's the 8th.
Well, the 15th is when we're doing Gear of the Year.
So we can't do that. So we'll have to be the 8th. Okay, so the next live episode we're going to do is... Now, this is something that came from an article that I read about Francis Rossi from Status Quo selling his Telecaster. So he bought a telly in... That green telly that he has used forever. I think he bought in 1957, I think I saw... And he basically had used it for about 50 years until he retired it. And that got me thinking at work, is that the most gigged guitar of all time?
I like it.
Or is that some sort of Status Quo joke?
And I like it.
So I want to know if you've got other ideas for what could be a more gigged guitar.
I like it.
Or instrument in general than Francis Rossi's telly. I've got a couple of ideas. I'm not going to talk about them now. I'll talk about them on the live episode.
Okay.
So have a think about it. And then on the evening UK time of this Sunday, so 8 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, it'll be 8 p.m. UK time on the 8th of December.
Yeah, have a think about it. Don't post it in the group unless you're not going to... be on the live episode. I don't know. We want to hear from other people. So come and get involved. And I promise we don't bite. We'll probably, you know, be a little bit loose.
So if you do want to get involved in that, go to patreon.com/guitar nerds. Sign up at the $1 tier and we'll tell you how to get access. $5 gives you all the extra episodes, including half an hour every week, plus a load of other bonus stuff as well. And $10 gets your name read out in a little song that I'm sure Joe is going to have plenty of time to put together. Maybe before this goes out.
We'll
just do one from a couple of weeks ago, probably, I'd imagine. That's, you know, lazy. Easy. Anyway, with that, we will wrap this up. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Richard Sudworth, Brian Insulin, John Half, Gavin Vandal, Linden, Jacob McGee, Christopher Franklin, Mark Hizau, Katawaki, Rob Bostow, Stephen Burke, Robin Butterworth, Neil Milton, Maren Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Christian Lundhansen, Zach Milton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric File, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, and Adam Royce Chris, Jake Cutmore, and Rob Google, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, and Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Graham, Matt Robinson, Dave Lee, Emma James Baker, Juan Collier, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Eric Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordvik, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, Carlos Manch, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Cargan, Will Clare, Boo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Gaines, Sean Arbo, and Christopher Wolfman Cuthbertson. All of the Guitar Nerds executive backers. Thank you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.